You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're really glad you could be with us. Thanks so much to Doug Hagman and Bob Griswold for joining us in hours number one and number two. And we've got some very important information coming at you here in hour number three. Before we jump in, let me just mention that we have access to a financial advisor, and you know, no doubt know that I've interviewed Bob Kudla a few times and played those interviews on the show. And he is highly respected and has a very unique approach to weathering the storm when financial times are not good. And I would encourage everybody to go up to his website, check it out. He's got a lot to offer. TradeGenius.co. Again, that's TradeGenius.co. Really good stuff. Recommend Bob highly. In fact, I'm going to do a pre-record again with him this week in the post-election economy, because there are actually a few good signs out there for a change. And so, not going to all be doom and gloom. And so, really happy to bring good news to you. And also, as you know, our next guest, Daniel Brigman, is the owner of Numana Foods. I just want to say I believe in it strongly. And as we said last hour, this is not the time to go back to sleep. This is the beginning of a war between us and the radical democratic communists that are trying to impose their will on this country. And you don't know when critical services are going to shut down. And if you haven't prepped, it's time. And we can help you with the food part. Go to numana.com/Hodges and look at our great product delivery options. Look at our wide array of menu items that you can choose from. My favorite's the grab-and-go bucket. We were talking about that in the last hour with Bob Griswold. Really important that you take steps right now to protect your family, because they're going to up the ante on the other side. They're not going to slow down. They're going to increase what they're doing, and that could endanger your ability to get food in all the traditional ways. So you need to be untraditional, non-traditional, and help yourself right now by going to numana.com/Hodges. And for Common Sense Show listeners, take 5% off your purchase price using the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Well, as I mentioned, Daniel Brigman is our guest this hour. He's no stranger to the show. We've had him on many times before, and people always go, wow, that was a really good guest. And so we're really glad to have him back, and we have some very critical post-election issues to discuss. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Wow, it's great to be here. Always good to be on the Common Sense Show with you, Dave. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the pleasure is all ours, my friend. Well, Donald Trump has been sworn in, and the radicals, as hard as they tried, weren't able to disrupt the proceedings. And Trump is already doing things that he said he was going to do. He's proving to be a man of his word. Where do you sit with where things are at now? And kind of give us, you know, your version of the lay of the land.
Well, I probably, like a lot of your listeners, I was watching the inauguration. Please just let him get sworn in. Please just let him get sworn in. Not something happen. And he did, and everything went off. I am extremely excited, and this is so much more than a cult of personality type excitement. Donald Trump, I believe, has done more for America, his election, as far as the presidency goes, than any president in my lifetime. And I believe that at least my lifetime, that's all I have to judge, but I believe that strongly. There has been a mirage, a veil placed over America, placed over our minds, placed over our hearts, that is tightening the noose on all that we hold dear. And Donald Trump, out of left field, just swung the biggest haymaker and just hit the establishment right on the nose, and he went down. He slew Goliath. He hasn't cut off Goliath's head yet, or we haven't cut off Goliath's head yet, but we, with him, with his candidacy, just slew Goliath and punched the establishment right in the nose, and we punched a hole in this wall. Now it is our job to walk through. There are still many questions. There are many if, what ifs, what if, you know, all those things. Right now, I am extremely optimistic and extremely excited.
As am I. I mean, he had an impact before he even took office, because he got a lot of corporations to say, you know, we're not going to send our jobs out of the country here. We like your carrot and stick approach. And
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that said so much, not about him. What it said was about these previous administrations, how incompetent they were, how total resistant. They're like a vampire to garlic, right? I mean, to businesses. They're like garlic to businesses in the country. All Donald Trump did was what any logical person would do in court business, and they came running like he said they would. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they want to be here? It's ridiculous. Of course they would. Very enthused.
Yeah, I am too, and that's a really good way to put that. But, and he's unafraid. That's the thing that I find so remarkable about him. Reagan waffled. He did good things in his first term, but he waffled. I guess getting shot could do that to you too. But
he waffled. Yeah, he was shot. Yeah, he was shot, Dave. I think that had a lot to do with it.
But he waffled after that. And, you know, I made this comment in a podcast I did today that Donald Trump, in 2 days, has done more for the average American than the last four presidents combined.
Well, I don't think that's exaggeration. I think there's a lot of truth in what you just said, which is remarkable.
Yeah, he's already told the states, hey, look, if there are things about Obamacare you can't deal with, well, ignore those parts for right now. We're working that out. And he just decentralized the authority in Obamacare and just said, do what works for you right now and why we're working on the issue. That's damn good leadership.
It's unbelievable. We thought for so long, and you look back 2 years, when I say we, I mean the people who love the Republic, who love America, who love individualism versus this collectivism. That's what we're... So when I say we have been... in a malaise, almost in a bunker type mentality, because we've been beat down and we think like we're just around the corner, the other shoe's going to drop. 2 years ago, I would have never ever thought that this election or something like this would have happened. I dreamed it, I prayed it, I begged God for it like so many other people did, but would I have bet hard-earned money on it? I don't know. I doubt it. This is unbelievable. Without question, the corporate, conglomerate, fascist takeover of our power structure, of our constitution, has turned us into our republic, into really a kept state, a managed state, and we don't even realize how true that is. That power source, they thought they had this all sucked up. I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know if I told this on this show. I don't think I have. So if I have, just stop me. But we have a dog, and I've had my dog for 9 years. I love this dog. When it was young, it got an ear infection, and it got kind of willful. It didn't want to let me even go near it. It hurt it. You know, it bothered it. We took it to the vet. The vet cleared him out. He knocked the dog out. Had to clear out his ear, everything, and then gave us some medicine that we had to put in the dog's ear every night. Now, every night I had to put medicine in this dog's ear, but the dog would freak out. So he said, here, give him this pill. It'll make him a little loopy, make him relax, and then give him the medicine for so many nights in a row. Well, I was desperate. If you know me, I don't like medicine at all, but I was really desperate with this dog and to get their ear better. Anyway, we gave this dog this pill, And we waited the 20 minutes, they said. In about 20 minutes, the dog was just loopy. Now, Dave, this dog could not even walk. Could not take three steps without falling over. That's how loopy this dog was. So, of course, I got down, you know, got him, you know, laid on top of her, all nice and everything. My wife was there. We lifted the ear up. As soon as we went to put the medicine in the ear, that dog shot up like a ramrod was stuck where the sun don't shine. And that dog shot up like a greyhound and ran around the house and did laps and went down the basement. And I tell that story because that is the American Republic. They thought they had us down. They thought we were loopy. They thought we were knocked out. They thought they're ready to put the kill shot in us, so to speak, and really cut the head off this magnificent, great, once republic that we were. And as soon as they went for it, as soon as they put Hillary Clinton up there, who's about as repulsive a candidate to freedom that we've probably ever seen in this country, and we jumped up like greyhounds, and we ran around the house, and we did something about it. It makes me very hopeful for the future. There was an idea that just went on. America believed in an idea. It's a war of ideas, you know, information. It's not information's everywhere. This is not an information war. This is an idea war. Information is involved with that, but it's an idea. Whose idea will you believe? What ideas will you hold to? Whose hearts and whose minds do you hold? And the idea that America believed before the election, and this is why this happened, was the government is out to screw us. They don't have our best interests at heart, and most certainly the media lies to us, and they got about a 10% approval rating. The media has an agenda, and they're not telling us the truth. Okay, that was the idea that America believed, despite all their efforts, despite all the propaganda, despite all the predictive programming and psychological analysis, psychological warfare. That is the idea. The idea was not Donald Trump. The idea was just what I just told you. Donald Trump became the answer to that idea. Well, if that's true, then what do we do? Well, we certainly are not going to elect Hillary Clinton. Now, many people put out reports saying that the election was completely rigged. It was so rigged, that's why Hillary went absolutely nuts on election night, because she knew she had this in the bag. But the people absolutely overwhelmed the fraud. And that's why Donald Trump won. And it was that idea. And Donald Trump passed into
that.
It.
Daniel, so, I agree. People I talk to in the know, intelligence community and so forth, told me before the election Trump is going to get 70% of the vote, but it may not be enough because of the voter fraud. It was enough.
So you asked me at the beginning of your question, where do you think we are? What's your opinion? I am incredibly enthused. Now, do I think it's all going to be sunshine and pizzas from here? I actually think we're in more jeopardy and more danger. Because do you think everything was going along swimmingly for the collectivists? Everything was going along great for them. And this is a major U-turn for their agenda. Do you think they're just going to be like, oh, well, I guess we'll just wait 4 years so we can do it? No, give me a break. So I think we're actually in more jeopardy probably than we were before.
Well, if you pulled out your crystal ball out of the closet, where do you think the danger lies? What are they going to do?
The danger lies because it's a... Well, they have to go all the way. They're willing to go all the way because they've committed such egregious acts. I mean, you know, Pizzagate, whether Pizzagate is true or not, you know darn well that that's the tip of a very big iceberg. Whether it's who was happening at that pizza parlor or not, that's really neither here nor there. The massive fraud, the massive theft. If you put yourself into that position, see, these people, they don't think like you and I, like normal person, like, you know, mom and pop, Main Street America. They have a much more sinister way of thinking, cold, calculated way of thinking. Just look at it that way. There is no way they can stop. They have to go forward because they've committed such crimes. What's their choice? And do you think they're going to come so close And they're still going to try, I think, to use Trump and to manipulate him and to do things that they can do. I'm not so naive to think that Trump's some panacea, some magic pill, because I don't believe he is, and I don't believe he's perfect. But if I had to put my crystal ball, I would say that anything and everything is on the table, but America is more awake than it's been since probably the 18th, early 19th century. That's what I would say. So what does that mean? It means, who knows what it means? It can mean anything. I mean, I don't have a... It can mean anything. And those two worlds are colliding. This battle of ideas, this, again, now what's the new idea going to be? We already know the media lies. It's not mainstream. Don't even use the word mainstream media anymore, because it's not mainstream. They're the old media. They're the corporate media. They are definitely not the mainstream media. So that's their propaganda arm. They know when I say they, these collectivists, they know the value of psychological warfare, of holding your hearts and your minds. It's invaluable to them. Well, they just lost it. So they're scrambling and they're reengineering and they're resettling to try to figure out, well, how can we capture this back? This genie's out of the bottle. How can we put this back? And I think they're going to have a hard time. What I see is they keep running the same playbook, and it's not going to work. I mean, you got the left and people, very liberal people on one side of the thing. I mean, it doesn't matter what, they're going to believe it no matter what. But that big mass of the middle of America, they're just not buying it anymore. And certainly the far right is even more emboldened. Now we've had a victory. This is a victory. This is almost like 1776 Washington when he crossed the Delaware and on Christmas Eve defeated the British and Hessian army in Trenton. I mean, it's almost, this opened the door to anything's possible now. You know, did we just pull off a miracle? I mean, what in the world just happened? We can do anything. So it is going to, the next battle, I predict, will be again the battle for your hearts and minds. And the next idea, what is the next dominant idea that Americans will believe? Will they try bombing? Will they try some, you know, can't you see some Muslim blowing up a Muslim plant blowing up some mall somewhere or school somewhere? And then they try to get the fear propaganda going to get you back under control. That's
so you are right on the money, Daniel.
So
Doug Hagman and I talked about this in the first hour. The Trevor Loudon, and I'm going to mention this a lot, folks, over the next few weeks. His video called "Enemies Within," and I've been able to validate what he said, and I think I've even gone a little beyond what he found. But Daniel, if you didn't hear what Doug and I were talking about, basically...
I did. That's funny that
up
we
to 100,
said that.
We've got 100 congressmen, 100, that are in front groups for the the Communist Party, and they're all Democrats, or they're in Muslim Brotherhood, the granddaddy of all the terrorist groups, and they're front groups, like CARE and so forth. And when we look at this, we know that these groups are intertwined. And it is Putin. It was the KGB that married these two groups. And we have 20% of the Congress that is actively seeking to create a coup against our government. Not against just Donald Trump, but against our government. And they've declared war on us. And for me, and I want to get your reaction to this, I don't want to just sit back and react to every act of terrorism they do and hope we catch a few of the operatives and not the brains behind it. I want Donald Trump this week to go after Hillary Clinton and George Soros and put them on trial and let the head start rolling. A best defense here, I think, is a good offense. What do you think?
I've went back and forth on this a lot. And I don't, not that I don't completely agree with you, because I think I probably do agree with you. He has to go after these people, because if not, they don't think like you and me. Any weakness that's shown, they think is an offensive opportunity for them. And so the only way you can really send them scurrying is to really send them scurrying and send them jumping under tables and chairs and, you know, looking for the nearest exit. And the only way you can do that is by the power of prison, the power of, you know, take away their freedom, like they've tried to take away everybody else's freedom. I agree with you. I mean, is now the time? That's the only question in my mind. Is now the time? I tend to agree with you.
Well, the Germans almost won the Battle of the Bulge with undermanned forces because they threw everything at us at once and almost turned the tide of war. And I like the idea of throwing your knockout punch first if it's available. And if we take down Hillary and we take down Soros, the rule of law is reestablished in this country, and it's been missing
wow.
for so many decades. And not only
wow.
that, it'll open the door to go after Comey. It'll go after the door to go after people in the CIA, top-level operatives who've sold this country out. I mean, it opens the door to have a purge, but not a French Revolution purge, to do it legally.
Wow. Well, my hesitancy is how these, I get the feeling that these people, especially the deep state, the CIA, you know, how deep does that rabbit hole go? And how entrenched are they? And so, it may be, it's like getting cancer out of a body, right? Sometimes you gotta do it piece by piece. You can't take it all at once because you'll kill your organ or something. Here's one thing I will say about Trump. What I have seen from him is I get the feeling that he is highly intelligent and he is playing a game, a very high level of chess with these people. And they don't really understand it or understand him because they've been thwarted really on every turn up to this point. And so I'm going to have to trust him for that position, but I tend to agree with what you're saying.
Well, my feeling is too, and I'll use another war example. When we invaded Iwo Jima and we moved inland off the beaches, the Japanese had constructed all these interconnecting tunnels, and they were able to pop up in our command posts and kill our officers, and you had units, companies, and in some cases even battalions that were being run by sergeants because all the officers were dead. And see, I
wow.
want to take that analogy and apply it to here. If we take out the enemy's leadership and you do it legally, where the hell are they going to get the replacements? Who's going to replace Soros? Who's going to replace Clinton? This is, I think, you hit them, you take out their command and control, at least in the short term.
I agree with you, Dave. It's a matter of, but what, you know, another thing that you're seeing, and you saw this during the candidacy, during the election process, and now you're going to start to see even more, I believe. Look at everybody who popped up out of every holler, hole, or what have you, or creek bed there was, and came forward to criticize Trump. And immediately, now looking back on it, immediately when you saw that, you started to see the signs of, oh, I know exactly who that person is. I know exactly what they're doing. They're obviously involved in the conspiracy. They're obviously involved. They're compromised. That's the feeling I got. And I believe for the majority of the situations, I believe that's true. Well, you're going to see that again. You watch as Donald Trump goes forward and starts to do some of these things, exactly what he said he's going to do about the Obamacare, about this. I mean, Congress right now probably doesn't dare to defy him. But so let's see how far he pushes that and takes advantage of this opportunity right now. And again, I've been on the last time I was on your show, we questioned whether Donald's going to be able to do everything that he wanted to do. And there's two reasons that won't happen. One, he's just lied and he changed his mind for whatever reason. Not lied. He either lied, just flat out lied, or changed his mind because of circumstances. Or two, he didn't have enough support from us to do this. So does he have the support of the American people to go after these people? I think, without question, the anger and the vitriol that we saw on his election and from the people, that they absolutely have, he has the people's will behind him to go after these people. So really going deeper into what you said, maybe there won't ever be a better time than right now. Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, we got momentum.
Yeah,
we got momentum. Yeah. You don't make the extra pass in basketball when you got the hot hand. And right now, this country has the hot hand. This is why they got to resort to putting people masquerading as women out there in the streets. God knows what they're protesting. What are they protesting? Do we even know?
I don't know. I don't know. They had some violent signs.
Not my president.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, sure. All right. Fine. Message received. Well, Thank you.
I like Trump's response, though, Daniel. And he tweeted out, he said, where were they during the election? They had a chance to vote.
Yeah, I bet you, I bet less than half of those people voted. I think they just like to stir up things. I think a lot of them are paid. I think a lot of are organized. I read that some 50 of those organizations that were there had ties to George Soros funding one way or another.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, it's just so... That, you know, and I saw the it was supposed to be a women's march. I saw that the pro-life groups, a lot of them got excluded from being there. Basically, you had to be for abortions or you couldn't be there. So much
for women's rights.
Well, right. That's, yeah, I thought women could speak their mind. I thought women could have an opinion and say what they wanted to say. I guess that's, only if it fits into their agenda.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. It is the left.
But you know, Dave, that fiasco that turned out to be that protest. Again, this is a war of ideas, and what they just showed Middle America is that what in the world are in Middle America thinks, what in the world are these people doing? I want no part of these people. What in the world are they protesting? He got in office literally one day ago. What are they protesting? Why won't they let pro-life groups in there and other women? And why are they acting so vile and screaming things and dressing up like women's private parts and just all manner of things? All it's doing is delegitimizing themselves to Middle America. And so the battle of ideas now is this group is left wing trash. That's what they've just cemented. The old way of thinking, the old dynamic is not working. Now, here's what I will say. I'm pretty impressed with the numbers they got. So Middle America may be thinking that, but there's a heck of a lot of them people in this left side. I hate to use the left-right paradigm, but just for this exercise. But there's a heck of a lot of these left people now that are, they're off the chain or darn near close to off the chain. So that's a concern. But the idea that they are acceptable to Middle America is becoming further and further from reality, and they either don't realize it or they don't care anymore.
I don't think they're just off the chain. I think they're off their rocker, and they should be chained up. I mean, these people are insane. I mean, they're walking proof that liberalism is a mental illness.
Well, look, it certainly looks like it. That's the impression you get when you watch them.
No, I mean, beauty comes in all shapes and sizes. But my God, would you have dreamed of taking any of those women home to meet your mom when you were dating?
True, not yelling the things they were yelling.
Exactly.
No.
I know. I looked over at my wife and I said, "You've always looked good. You look even better now, if that's possible." I'm looking at these and I just go, "Oh my gosh!" And listen, it's not about appearance; it's about demeanor.
Yes.
Act like pigs.
Yeah, totally. I wish women understood that more, and I think men probably need to give them better feedback that. But there's nothing as beautiful as a woman who has that certain, like you said, demeanor, for lack of a better word, that certain demeanor, that certain honor, respectability, class, all those things. Boy, that's a beautiful woman, right?
Exactly. It's the whole package. It's not just the Hollywood image. It's the character, the integrity, the loving spirit. I didn't see anything loving there. I didn't see anything to love. It was disgusting.
Well, take that image. You know, just think symbolically. And I said this on another show. When what's it, Melania. Melania came out in the morning in this blue outfit. She looked like, I immediately thought Jackie Kennedy, and everybody else, all the news media said that. Obviously, she was referring back to him. It was such a striking image and a striking contrast to see this almost ethereal-looking, just classy-looking woman. And the way she dressed and everything, in comparison with everybody around her, it was like Where's Waldo in a room of black elephants or something. I mean, it just stuck out like a sore thumb. It was like, oh my gosh! And now compare it to now, the people in this protest or the thing they're saying, and it just what a difference! It was just such a striking contrast.
No, no question, it was. And then you look at the thugs, to step away from the women for a minute, the thugs. Let's walk down the street, and we don't like Donald Trump, so let's break windows of innocent business owners who've done nothing to us. Let's burn cars of people that we don't even know. And if we catch someone out on the street, we're just going to assume they're a Trump supporter and beat the snot out of them and even threaten their life. I mean, what kind of people do this?
Well, it's a takeover plot of our country, and I think maybe not middle America hasn't got. Remember, that's a battle of ideas, Dave. This is a battle of ideas. Middle America hasn't quite got that idea, but you go just a little bit far to the right, and they are starting to get it, and they are getting it. And again, I hate to use the left-right paradigm, but for this exercise, I will. It makes it easier to understand. But you just go a little to the right off of middle America, mainstream America. And they understand exactly what you said, that this is a plan. These people are revolutionaries. They're leftists. They're liberals. They're communists. They're Stalinists. Leninites. What have you? They understand that idea. It's becoming so self-evident. This is such the establishment. I mean, the more we talk about this, the more I've thought about this a lot over the last, few weeks. They are going to have to go so far now to, there's a certain percentage of the population. I don't know what that percentage is, but there's a certain, and it's large and it's sizable, that absolutely will not believe what the mainstream media, which is really the corporate media, it's not mainstream, the corporate media, and what the government will tell them. They will not believe it. And I don't think that they can do anything to change that. The only thing that can change that is a total, purge, a total reversal, maybe Donald Trump can come and help jumpstart. They will not believe it. So then what will the establishment do? That number is getting too big for them. The number is growing all the time. And now with Trump, it's not even that Trump won. That's bad enough for them. It's that Trump won and that made the people realize that they could fight against the tyranny. Trump's victory is a badge of honor that we won the battle of tyranny. For we won this battle. Americans won this battle. God-fearing people won this battle. And so the courage and the buoying up that gives to us, this is extremely dangerous for the establishment, for the collectivists, for the people who want to own us. For our, whatever you want to call it. This is so dangerous for them, and I think they are scrambling. I think they are looking for grasping at straws. They're trying the same old playbook. No matter, I don't care how many times they get Cooper Anderson on CNN up there to tell them that Donald Trump is Hitler. It doesn't matter how many times he says it, they won't believe it. They will not believe it, and every time he says it, when he gets up there and says that speech was anti-Semitic that Donald Trump gave, and that it was Hitlerian, he is just discrediting himself even more and putting the nails in his coffin, figuratively. for this country. They will not believe it. And so what is the new idea that they will believe? My hope is that this Americanism, American exceptionalism, what America is, what it was, and what it can be, again, if they can grab hold to that idea, this whole paradigm will break. It happened in 1776, and it will happen in 2017. If they will grab hold to that idea, if that is the idea that replaces all these lies, then this is over. This battle is over. And we will mow them down like grass.
Well, I hope you're right. Do you think this will lead to pastors now having the courage to once again really preach the Word of God and not some milquetoast that they've been throwing at us?
Some of them, for sure, certainly. Donald Trump has said that he would protect them, to get rid of the 501c3, because he realizes that pastors have been neutered, so to speak, and are afraid to say certain things. A pastor should be able to, of all people in this country, should be able to say whatever they want without any restriction whatsoever. And once, you know, why has our government attacked religions and attacked churches so much? Why have they attacked them so much? It's because the church, Christianity specifically, teaches an individualism, your individual accountability to God, your individual accountability then to your fellow man, that you are special, that God is intimately concerned about you, and that he has given you a gift and he has given you freedom, and that he is your God. Well, that idea won't work. That won't work. So if the preachers will preach, see, the preachers in the Black Robe Regiment in the 1770s, they weren't saying we politically disagree with King George. And I've said this 100 times. This is so vitally crucial, so important. They said King George is offending God. And if he offends God, we will not obey him. I mean, Thomas Jefferson. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Where do you think he got that? You know, these atheists, they use Thomas Jefferson as the idea, it wasn't Christians that formed established America. Thomas Jefferson was the one who said that. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. He also said, I have sworn on the holy altar of God, I can't remember the rest of it, resistance to all oppression over the minds of men or something like that. I can't remember. It's a very famous quote. I apologize. I'm a little whooped up. But that is America. And that idea, for those preachers to stand up, they need to say, it is sin before God for the government to stand over you with a gun and tell you that you have to buy their insurance, that you have to pay for their abortions, that you must send your kids to school, and they must inject their arms with poison, with mercury, with squalene, with potential hazards, that they got to go to school and listen to Common Core, an inferior form of education that you pay for. And if you don't like it, and you don't want to pay for it, we'll send somebody down to your house with a shotgun, and we will rip you out of it. That is what it's come to in this country. And now Donald Trump, to such an extent, has given everybody a permission to now say these things without fear. And I'm going to say it. In the name of Almighty God, I'm going to say it. If America wants to be what it once was, this is the idea that they must latch on to again. This is American exceptionalism, that all the authority for them to pick up a gun and to defy Great Britain came from God, and that everything in law is in subjection to the endowment of man by their Creator. That is America. There is nothing else. And when we take hold of that idea again, and these preachers can start preaching this and start being worthless little dogs, that be a watchman on the wall and say that, and say what their government's doing, and you watch how fast things change in this country.
Well, that was so well said. I don't even want to comment because I don't want to take away from the strength and emotion behind that message. I would hope that people would bottle that energy up and they would use it to keep Congress in line, because I see our job right now is one of going after Congress and telling them, you're going to be here for a very, very short time if you don't get behind doing the right thing for America, and that means backing most of Trump's programs. And I say most because certainly there needs to be political discourse, but it's going to be up to us to hold Congress's feet to the fire, and we need to scare the hell out of them.
Well, how many, I couldn't agree more. How many years have we thought, well, you can't fight City Hall, there's no recourse in the halls of Congress with our congressmen? How many years have we thought that? And now what does Donald Trump's election just do to all that? It all throws it away. We can win. We can influence. We can root out and subvert these people. We can throw them back in the ditch or the gutter where they came from. We can. We just did it. We just did it in the biggest, most important election we've ever seen in our whole life. We just did it. When they had every frickin' hillbilly Hollywood star get on TV, everybody from everywhere to say how Donald Trump couldn't win. The Huffington Post, days before the election, said he had a 1% chance. They brought out everything to stop his candidacy, and they failed. What does that say about our power? So now it's time to turn that power. And not only that frustration, but it's that righteous indignation. Do you think God didn't hear our prayers on election night and the month before? Everybody that I talked to that I know pretty well that I could get in this conversation, every one of them said, I was praying. And I said, Daniel, I don't mean praying. I mean, I was praying that God would have mercy on our country. You don't think he listened? This is a time of rejoicing. This is a time of praise. This is a time of glory. No matter what happens, no matter what upheaval we are about to face, because I feel we're about to face it. Because you think these worlds cannot coexist. So as they start to meet and start to clash, you can bet your bottom dollars there's going to be upheaval. But as that happens, you can know, just like Patrick Henry in 1775, the greatest speech ever given, that God will fight our battles for us and send friends to fight our battles for us. The battle is not to the strong alone. It's to the vigilant, the brave, the swift, the active, and the faithful. You gird up your loins. I don't care how dark it looks. It is time now. That hole in that wall is gone, is there. Donald Trump just put it in the wall. Now let's go through it. Let's go.
That's really well said. He did create a breach in their wall, and we have a chance to knock it down. And this is one thing I hope people understand who hear this message, Daniel, is that Trump and God, God's will, and the time of history we're in has given America, I think, one final chance to get it right again. And we won't get another chance. I don't think we'll get another one.
I agree. I agree with you. I don't know about another chance or what that means. This is our chance. And I think, just like you said, we'd be fools to think that we could waste it, because I don't think we can. This is our chance. And whatever doubts you have in your mind, whatever happens, put the doubts aside. Go forward. Go forward. You're going to see people start to get more brazen. You're going to see people get more active, more vigilant, more traction. You're going to see it because the ideas are open now. The American people believe differently than they did 4 years ago. America is a different nation than it was 4 years ago. Obviously, part of it, you look at the downgrade of education, the downgrade of morals. There is definitely that going on. But in another part of it, you're seeing the ascension of credibility, of truth, of what's right and wrong, of power, of a rebirth of individualism. You're seeing it both at the same time. And what do you think will win out? Well, we know what will win out. We know liberty will always win out if it has people that will risk for it. Always. That's the greatest lesson of the American Revolution. The greatest lesson of 1776 is that a people united, even small minority, if they're united and willing to sacrifice everything for liberty, they are undefeatable. Undefeatable. That is the greatest lesson. And so we can't have doubts anymore. We can't say what they're going to do with it. Oh, they're going to do that. It doesn't matter. Who cares? The sleeping giant is waking up. Is it woke up all the way? I'm not sure. I hope so, but it is waking. And so now keep pushing. Push. Wake. Pray. Pass out all the information that Dave has for you. Get these articles out. Encourage people. But remember, the battle is not for information. There's information everywhere. It's a battle of idea. And what are you going to hold in your heart and mind? That's your soul, right? You know something in your mind. You believe it and feel it in your heart. And heart and mind, and all those feelings and ideas, that's your soul. So this is literally a battle for the souls of men. You know, the Bible talks about trading in the souls of men. That's what they've done. And they've ripped your heart and mind, and they've taken it, and they've owned it and traded in it, and just the sickest things possible. Well, now you control it, and you think about that idea, and you think about the ideas that you are wanting to infect your children with. Think about the ideas you want to infect your children. If you're able, I highly recommend get your kids out of public school. It's an indoctrination center. I'm sorry, it is. I don't want to offend you. I know that some people can't for whatever reason. Well, then just be as active as you can. Be as influential in your children's lives as you can. Get a copy of the Bill of Rights and put it on your refrigerator. Talk to them about it. Read the Declaration of Independence. At least read the first two or three paragraphs of it to them. Expose them to it. What does this mean? What happened to in 1776? Schools certainly not going to teach them. Why is it so important? Why do you think they want to rip a statue of Thomas Jefferson off the University of Missouri because he was a slave owner? Why do you think they're attacking all these founding fathers? Why do you think they want to get rid of them all? Because they stood up to tyranny and they defeated it. Excuse me. That's why. We have to stand on their shoulders and learn from them. There is no more important idea. So in everything we do, let's have confidence. Let's have efficiency. Let's have American exceptionalism. Let's have America first. Because the ideals of America, if they're not first, then something else is. And so that's the battle that we're waging. And we're winning. We are winning. That doesn't mean there's not about to be a clash of all these things. Because I think there's going to be one hell of a clash about to face. Because of all these worlds and all this power struggle, because we want our power back, and we are reclaiming the crown that God placed on our head. And they took it from us because we handed it to them. Well, now we see different. We want it back. And Donald Trump's our champion, most certainly, when he pointed his finger at CNN and says, "No questions for you, you're fake news." In that moment, he put the championship belt on. He put the people's belt on. He put the people's elbow down on CNN, so to speak. He was your champion when he said that. And everything that they've done to you, manipulated you, and stole your soul, he fought for you, and he punched them right in the nose. It was unbelievable. It's unbelievable. If Donald Trump can never do another thing, and he's been the greatest and most influential president of my lifetime by magnitude. And again, poor Ronnie Reagan, they shot him just a few months in. God only knows what he could have done or would have done. But they definitely torpedoed him. But what Donald Trump done is even at a more critical time. We're even more critical right now. And so don't. Please take heart and take courage, because this is the battle. This is the idea right now. Right now.
The question sometimes gets asked, does the man make history, or does history make the man? What do you think it is here with Donald Trump?
It's both. I think he's a manifestation of a rising reaction to the tyranny and the righteous indignation And I'm not want to, I don't want to put a halo on Donald Trump's head. That's not what I'm saying. But he is definitely the manifestation of this rebirth of individualism, Americanism, accountability, competency. You know, that's what people wanted. We get what we want. We get what we choose. And so I think it's both. And I think that he has been uniquely prepared. You know, I was talking to Joyce. You know Joyce. I was talking to her about this and how, you know, Donald's not a young man. And we think about our generation and, you know, even younger. You know, they would never be able to do this or even understand this or even have the work ethic or competency. You know, he's a product of a different era. And he's a product of a different age. I think he's 70. So what? Yes. That means he was born, what, 47? He was born about the time of the war. I mean, he comes from a different era in his family and his parents. And so he's... Yeah, he's unique. And not only that, you know, when people in the during the election, they were complaining, he said this, he did that, he was rough, he was this, and he was. I personally didn't care what he said to those politicians. I thought they were scum. It didn't bother me at all. I don't care what he said to them or what he called them, because that's what they are. And it's time we started to call a spade a spade. But you know, then I pose the question, and people said that. Well, I say, well, how many people do you think could have done what he just did? An outsider, not embedded in the system, not controlled, could have just won that election. First of all, you have to have somebody with basically an unlimited checkbook or virtually unlimited checkbook, because he had to write, probably $250 million check. $250 million, and not miss it. $250 million. I think was somewhere around it.
Well, we are almost out of time, and I want to say a couple things here. First of all, Daniel Brigham, as I mentioned when I brought him on the show, and some of you already know this, he is the owner of Numana Foods. Mike Adams did a comparison between Numana and other foods, and I think it was 11, 12 different categories. Numana won on all of them. And this is why I'm so proud to be representing Numana, because we have no future guaranteed for us. I mean, we're going to have challenges, and we may have food interruption. And this is why I tell people, if you can't get 6 months to 2 years of food, which I think is optimal, do what you can. Maybe you only need to get through a crisis for a few weeks. But I would encourage everyone to go to numana.com/Hodges and... Through the goodness and graciousness of Daniel, Common Sense Show listeners are getting 5% off with the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. And Daniel, from the bottom of my heart, and we're just out of time here, we've just got a few seconds, I want to thank you for providing this great service for America in a way that no one else is.
Hey, God bless you. God bless your audience. And we're going forward all together. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We'll be back next week. We've got a great lineup of guests, and we're going to be further unfolding things like the economy. So we'll see you next week. Tune into our YouTube channel. Follow us on thecommonsenseshow.com. Go out and have a great week, everybody. God bless.